Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and I have the first of two author interviews again this week. So as always, I am excited about that. I know I say it every week, but I'm probably going to keep saying it every week because it keeps being true. I am having the most fun talking to these authors. I was joking on social media the other day that some people get excited about movie stars or athletes, and I fangirl about authors. I seriously do. I love talking to them. I love learning about their lives and their writing process and what they love to read and just kind of getting inside their head a little bit and understanding more about the person that has written the book that I've just read. So that's me. So as I said, I have two author interviews this week. Before we get to that, I will say I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Ours was lovely, very quiet. We spent the day with family, friends, and had a great time. Just eight people there, which is not normal for them. They normally have a lot more family, so it can be up to 22 people. So it was very quiet. We ate, we chatted, we hung out, we watched a little football. It was a very, very nice day. And then we spent the weekend putting up Christmas tree lights, outside Christmas lights. And my husband actually toned it down a little bit this year. He loves Christmas lights. He's so cute. He's such a kid. And I always joke that he would be happy if he could finally achieve the level of lights where you could see our house from space. But like I said, he toned it down this year and it's very, very pretty. He did a very good job. So enough for me. I'm going to talk about the interview because that is what this podcast is. So I interviewed this week Maddie Dalrymple, who is the author of two series, the Anne Kinnear series and the Lizzie Ballard series. And we're going to talk first about Anne Kinnear. So let me give you the description of the first Anne Kinnear novel from Maddie's website. Anne Kinnear has created a peaceful existence at her cabin in the Adirondack Woods. But the calm is shattered after Philadelphia socialite Elizabeth Firth is reported missing. With few clues and fewer options, Detective Joe Booth calls upon Anne's spirit-sensing ability to help solve the mystery. With Joe and her brother Mike, Anne attempts to uncover what Elizabeth's husband may be hiding beneath his cloak of wealth and privilege. As Anne is drawn deeper into a web of lies and betrayal, she realizes she may be racing against time to keep herself from disappearing too. So that gives you a very good description of the fact that it is a suspense novel. It has a little bit of mystery detective work in it, and it has a little bit of supernatural in it. So Anne's ability is that she can sense spirits. I'm not going to tell you too much about that because Maddie will tell us more in the interview. But I really liked this book. It was very easy to get into, quick read, you know, that just I kept turning pages. I kept staying up too late because I wanted to find out what happened next and how this was going to turn out. And I was very happy that it is a suspense thriller supernatural book, but that it did not keep me up. It was not scary for me, and I tend to be kind of wimpy when it comes to scary things, so that kind of made me happy. Anyway, that is The Sense of Death, and there are actually two Anne Kinnear novels out right now. The Sense of Death is the first one, and then The Sense of Reckoning, and as I normally do when we have more than one book in a series, only going to tell you about the first one because I don't want to give any spoilers away on the second one. So I'm going to let Maddie talk now and tell you all about her books. Hi Maddie, thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So we're going to talk about your books, but first I would just like for my readers to get to know you a little bit. So if you could share a little bit about yourself, whatever you're comfortable with, that would be great.
I live outside Philadelphia in Chester County, where I've lived most of my life in the southeastern Pennsylvania area. So I'm writing what I know from that point of view. I use a lot of local settings in my books. And My husband and I have two getaways that we enjoy that take us to other areas that factor into my books. Mount Desert Island, which is where Bar Harbor and Acadia National Park are. We enjoy going there in August when it's very hot and uncomfortable in Pennsylvania, and then when it's cold and uncomfortable in Pennsylvania in February, we like to go to Sedona, Arizona to get away from the cold and enjoy the warmth there. So both those sites factor into settings of my books. And when I'm home, I'm here with my husband and our three dogs.
Oh, nice. What kind of dogs, if I may ask?
We have two labs and a terrier mix.
Oh, nice. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. So we're going to start first with your first two novels, and those are based on a character named Anne Kinnear. Could you tell us about Anne?
Sure. Anne is a woman who has the ability to sense spirits, and she has created a sort of consulting business on the basis of that. People can hire her to, for example, determine if a house they're thinking of buying is haunted or not. Sometimes the client wants it to be haunted. Sometimes they don't. But I try to approach her profession in a very logical way. So they aren't kind of spooky, supernatural, or paranormal novels. I try to approach them from a very practical point of view, in the sense that Anne has a profession just like anyone else would have a profession, and there are different people in the profession who have different levels of skill. At the beginning of the first book, The Sense of Death, Anne's level of skill is quite basic and develops over time. And it's run by her brother, Mike, who is in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and he also factors into the story.
Thank you. What was your inspiration for Anne as a character?
I was really interested in the idea of what it would be like to be a person who had an extraordinary ability in the context of the ordinary world. So if everything else was just like you or I would run into it in the course of our day, and there's this one twist of, for example, someone being able to sense spirits, how does that play out and how does that impact her life? It could have been the ability to read minds or the ability to teleport. I'm sure many similar extraordinary abilities would have worked, but the idea of being able to communicate with spirits was especially attractive because it opened up all sorts of opportunities for suspense and thrills.
Mm-hmm. And she can, at least in the first book, she senses spirits as kind of color and sometimes smell. She doesn't really communicate with them as we sometimes think of people communicating with spirits. Was that a deliberate decision on your part to only make her be able to sense certain amounts of the spirit?
Yes, I wanted her ability to start out at a very basic level, and it does expand over time. So the story is both about how Anne is dealing with her extraordinary ability right off the bat, but also how does she adjust as she is able to do more sophisticated things like communicate with the spirits, and in some senses, mainly just getting messages from them later on, maybe more of a two-way communication. But I did want it to develop as any profession like that would develop.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any kind of research regarding this type of phenomena or ability?
I specifically did not do a lot of research about that. I generally love doing research, and I've done a lot of research on different aspects of my book, but for this, I just wanted to be able to rely on my own imagination for what that experience would be like. And I didn't want to have people who were experts in the field telling me that, oh, it has to be like this or it has to be like that. So that is the one area of my writing that I've not carefully researched. That's completely a product of my own imagination.
Fun. Interesting. And there are currently two Anne Kinnear novels. Are you planning more for the series?
Yes. I think that Anne is going to be an ongoing series. The two that are out there now are The Sense of Death and The Sense of Reckoning. And I also have two short stories, Anne Kinnear suspense shorts. They are Our Dancing Days and Close These Eyes. Those are available to, or the current one is available to people who subscribe to my monthly-ish email newsletter. So if anyone is interested in seeing an Anne Kinnear suspense short, they can sign up there at mattydalrymple.com. But I definitely see Anne's series going on for a long time, hopefully.
I would like that. I mean, you said you said earlier that you wanted them to be, you know, able to create kind of these suspenseful situations, but they're not scary. Like, that's I appreciated that, because I'm a total wimp when it comes to scary stuff. So I really enjoyed reading Anne's story and having that kind of suspenseful, maybe a little bit on the creepy side, but nothing that just made me have to sleep with the lights on.
Yeah, I really have given up trying to frame up for people. When people ask, is it scary or is it violent? That is such a personal assessment that I've almost given up trying to describe that. I think, you know, many people have the response you did. I've had people tell me that it did keep them up at night. So,
oh, no.
But it's not, yeah, it's not a sort of jumping out of your seat book, and it's also certainly not a very gory read.
Right.
So I know people have appreciated that, being able to get the suspense plot without having to deal with a lot of gore or disturbing violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Excuse me while I jump in here for a quick second, because we do have to take our first break of the podcast. But when we come back, we'll be talking about the second series that Maddie has written about a character named Lizzie Ballard. So stay tuned, and we will be right back with the GSMC Book Review Podcast.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am speaking today with author Maddie Dalrymple, and we are about to talk about her second series with a character named Lizzie Ballard. And as I did with the Anne Kinnear series, I will give you the description from Maddie's website about this new novel called Rock, Paper, Scissors. Rock breaks scissors. Scissors cut paper. Paper covers rock. The rules are simple, except when it's people's lives at stake. By the time Charlotte and Patrick Ballard discover the damage their daughter Lizzie can do with her mind, it's already too late for Charlotte. They hide Lizzie away, trying to save others from the same fate, and trying to save Lizzie from life as a human lab rat. But they can't hide her forever. Little do they know that respected Philadelphia businessman Gerard Bonnet is responsible for Lizzie's ability, and Bonnet is willing to eliminate anyone who gets in the way of his goal of turning that power to his own ends. As her protectors are picked off one by one, will Lizzie be able to escape from Gerard Bonnet's deadly zero-sum game? Again, that is the description of Rock, Paper, Scissors, a Lizzie Ballard thriller, and Maddie's going to tell us more about that book. I very much am excited about this character. I'm excited about the story. I haven't yet had a chance to read the Lizzie Ballard series. Or, well, there's only one out right now, but it is on my list, and I am excited for it to get to know another character of Maddie's. So let's get back to that interview. And then you have a new book out this year, and that features a new character. So can you tell us about Lizzie?
Yes, Lizzie Ballard is the main character of the Lizzie Ballard thrillers. And Lizzie also has an extraordinary ability, but it would be a bit of a spoiler for me to tell you what that is. It is something that sets her apart, as Anne's ability sets hers apart. But one of the things I enjoyed about writing about Lizzie is her reaction to the situation is much different than Anne's. So I think Anne feels uncomfortable about her ability. It has resulted in some difficult situations for her, including a falling out with her boyfriend, who actually doesn't really believe she has the ability she claims to have. And she deals with that by really withdrawing from society. She has a very small group of trusted friends and advisors, including her brother Mike, and that's really where her life is centered. Lizzie, on the other hand, is someone who probably should be withdrawing from society, but she is a much more outgoing, sort of optimistic person, and so she's drawn to society, whereas it would really be better for everybody if she were more isolated. So it was interesting to come at the extraordinary ability from a slightly different angle.
Yeah, and actually that leads into my next question of how was this writing experience different from writing the Anne Kinnear novels?
I don't know that it was really different from the Anne Kinnear novels as much as it's just evolving a little bit. You know, with each additional book, I sort of learn more about the writing approach, although I have to say that I've learned many things I should be doing, but I'm not always good at practicing that. And so oftentimes with my books, the book will come about starting with a scene that's very vivid in my mind, almost like I'm watching a movie scene. And unfortunately, that is usually not the first scene of the book. It usually comes somewhere in the middle, and the result is that I risk writing a middle scene that is difficult to write up to and difficult to write away from. And also, oftentimes I'll be writing away and I'll be going in one direction, then I'll think, oh, it's going to be much more interesting and much more engaging for this other thing to happen, which means I then have to go back and rework everything that led up to that moment. So it's an inefficient way of writing, but it is evidently the way my brain works. And I've learned to be okay with the inefficiency in order to get down the story that I want.
Right. Work with what you have, I would assume. That actually takes me back to something I was thinking about as I was reading the first Anne Kinnear book. And often these stories are told from the point of view of, in this case, it would be Anne. And you didn't do that with this story. I mean, you start out with the murder itself and we actually get to know those characters. And then Anne isn't even in a lot of the chapters. So talk about how you decided to write from those different points of view and what went into the kind of your thinking on this, on the process there.
That's a really interesting question, and it's one that I'm spending a lot of time with. One of the things that I had a couple of people say to me after The Sense of Death came out is that they were looking forward to getting to know Anne better. And so for The Sense of Reckoning, I tried to delve into things from Anne's point of view a little bit more. I do find it fascinating, though, to consider looking at a scene from the point of view of someone who's a bit of an observer. And I think it's interesting because it gives the reader a little bit more, the reader's able to play a little bit more with what the motivations are of the main character when the story isn't telling them explicitly what it is. And so as a reader and as a writer, I kind of enjoy leaving a bit of that to the reader's imagination. That said, though, in my subsequent books, I have tried to not leave it too much up in the air. You know, at the end of the story, I want to make sure that the reader feels that they are as invested in what happens with Anne as they are with some of the other characters. And I do sometimes need to rein myself in when I fall in love with one of the secondary characters, which I always do,
right,
and convince myself that this is not a story about that character, this is a story about Anne. That said, there's a character in The Sense of Death named Garrick Manser who was intended to be just a sort of walk-on, and I liked Garrick so much that The Sense of Reckoning is really all about Garrick's relationship with Anne and more about his background as well as more about Anne's background. So I think it's fun to have a fully fleshed out whole cast of characters and not have it only be the main character that the reader really gets a lot of information about.
Yeah, I can imagine that writing Garrick would be fun because he is sort of dry and sarcastic, and I would imagine it would be kind of a fun character to write.
Yes, I like Garrick a lot.
Nice. So you're planning more of in the Anne Kinnear series, and you said Lizzie Ballard thrillers, plural, so I'm assuming there will be more coming from that that line as well?
Yep, the first Lizzie Ballard book, which is Rock, Paper, Scissors, came out earlier this year, and the second book will come out next year. That's Snakes and Ladders. And then I'm visualizing that this is going to be a trilogy. Rock, Paper, Scissors starts out when Lizzie is very young. In fact, it starts out before she's born, but sort of gives a few vignettes from her childhood. Most of the story takes place when she's 16. And then the Snakes and Ladders takes place in the year or so after Rock, Paper, Scissors wraps up. I think that the third book, which is tentatively called Cat's Cradle, will also be, you know, Lizzie wrapping up her teenage years. And then I think I'll probably set that aside, because if I went back to it after the third book, now Lizzie would be a full-fledged adult. And I think that the books, I can foresee taking a little bit of a darker turn than the first set. But I'd like to finish the first set up as a trilogy and then return to it maybe after a trip back to Ankeny and see how things are developing with Lizzie.
Okay, thank you. So what drew you to writing books with this kind of supernatural, paranormal twist?
It was really this idea of the interest in exploring the extraordinary ability in an ordinary world. And I think something that sometimes frustrates me about books that I read are that things that would be really noteworthy and really traumatic if it happened to you or me are sort of glossed over. And oftentimes I wish that the author had spent a little more time exploring what that experience was like for the characters. And an example I've used is if I was driving home from work on a dark, foggy evening and suddenly out of the fog ran a person and I wasn't able to stop my car and hit the person and, you know, obviously screeched at the side of the road and ran back to where I had hit the person, and what I see in the road is a deer, but I was so confident that what I saw was a person that I think some books would just sort of brush that off as a, you know, an oddity. Isn't that interesting? But I think if that happened to a person in real life, it could really be a life-changing and perhaps scarring experience.
Yeah.
You know, if you had that half a minute where you thought you had killed someone, and then when you find out it's a deer, you would question yourself as to whether, you know, you would question your perception. You would maybe not want to tell other people because you would be afraid of what they would think about it. It interests me a lot, and so I like considering that idea. If you tweak this one thing about a person's life and everything else around them is just as it is in real life, I just think that's an interesting topic to explore. So that kind of led me to the supernatural twist. I don't like to say a supernatural overarching theme, but at least using that as a plot device.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The more I think about the example that Maddie just gave of hitting what you thought was a person and finding out it was a deer, the creepier it becomes. I mean, just thinking that you were insane, that what the heck just happened, the more I think about it, like I said, the weirder it becomes. So I appreciate her imagination and her ability to look at these situations. We are going to take our second break of the podcast, but when we come back, we'll be concluding the interview with Maddie Dalrymple and talking about, you know, her writing style, her writing schedule, her favorite books, etc. So stay tuned and we'll be right back with the GSMC Book Review Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. We are going to have the conclusion now of my interview with author Maddie Dalrymple. When did you, is writing something you've always wanted to do? When did you begin writing?
It is something that I've always wanted to do. My father was a short story author, and he got some books and some stories published in Collier's and Cosmopolitan back in the 50s. And then he sort of changed his focus to novels, and I think he was really more of a short story author than he was a novelist. I think his style just really lent itself to shorter works. But because I knew about that background, and he really spent his whole life writing, it was something that seemed possible to me and something that I wanted to pursue. And in fact, the publishing company that I formed to publish my own books, which is called William Kingsfield Publishers, is named after my father's pen name, William Kingsfield. So that was my homage to my father setting me that goal, something that I wanted to do.
That's lovely. And so when you write, do you have a favorite place that you like to write? Do you keep to a certain schedule? What does that look like for you?
Well, I have a full-time day job, and so I do have to be a little bit careful about my time in order to ensure that I can fit writing in. I normally do writing on the weekends, and I also tend to get big chunks of writing done on vacations. And then in the evenings during the week, I spend more time on promotion and kind of the business publishing side of things to keep that going. But I really had to pretty much eliminate doing anything else other than writing, publishing, and going to my day job. Because it's a very time-consuming thing,
I would imagine.
You know.
Yeah.
For example, I was taking flying lessons for a while, and that I enjoyed a lot, but there was just no way that I could do that. Although, you know, there's no way I could do it once I started writing and working on promotions. But I do always manage to interject a little bit of aviation interest into all my books on the basis of that experience. And in terms of the location, anywhere there's a porch, porches are always a favorite writing location
of mine.
Okay.
Which would explain why you go to Arizona in February, since you cannot sit on your porch in Pennsylvania in February. You can, but
exactly.
You'd need a lot more layers.
It would be distracting.
Yes.
My computer would freeze up.
And so would your fingers.
Literally.
Yes. When you read, who are your favorite authors or genres?
Well, I do tend to read a lot in suspense and thrillers, although I try to be careful not to only read in that, because I think that writers who only read in their own genre are really shortchanging themselves. But in the general suspense and thriller area, my favorite is Robert Galbraith, which is actually J.K. Rowling, the Cormorant Strike novel, so The Cuckoo's Calling, The Silkworm, Career of Evil. My fondest dream would be for someone to compare one of my books to those books, because I think they are just fantastic. They're not only great plot-wise, but as you can imagine from anyone who came up with Harry Potter, she's just a master of character development.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, especially the main character, Cormorant Strike, is not someone that on the surface is a particularly likable or sympathetic person, but, you know, by the end you're rooting for Cormorant Strike all the way, so that's one of my favorites. I love Ruth Ware, who wrote In the Dark, Dark Wood and The Woman in Cabin 10, and just to give myself a little break from modern-day suspense and thrillers, I recently went on a binge of Daphne du Maurier and read Rebecca and Jamaica Inn. And those were a little bit overwrought feeling now, but also really cleverly plotted, and one of those ones that you keep thinking, oh, you know, just one more chapter, just one more chapter.
Yeah.
So those are some of the books that I enjoy.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Do you have advice for aspiring authors?
I think my best advice for aspiring authors is to write, because I think that one of the most common things I hear is people who say, oh, I have this great idea for a story, but they don't actually write it down. And I think that having that, the fear of the blank page, you know, that's always a scary thing to address, but it makes me sad when I hear people who have a story they want to tell, but they don't take the time to write it down. And even if it's, you know, you say you're going to take 15 minutes a day and you're going to write during that 15 minutes, in 4 days you're an hour closer to your goal than you would have been if you hadn't done that. And so even if as you're writing it down, you realize it's not the next great American novel. Well, guess what? It's the first things you write down are never going to be the greatest American novel, and I just encourage people to try to break through that hesitance to get started and get started.
Yeah. I think sometimes for me when I try to write, it's that blinking cursor that I just stare at sometimes, and you have to – so sometimes I just have to start typing even if it's nothing. You know, I mean, if it's kind of gibberish to get me past that blinking cursor. So I appreciate your advice.
Yeah, I think also that one of the things that I sort of appreciate about working my writing around my day job is that – I have long periods of time, let's say, when I'm commuting to my job, where there's not much else I can do other than think about my story or, you know, as I'm falling asleep at night, thinking about the next scene I want to write. And I think the benefit of that is when I do sit down at the keyboard, I've already drafted it out in my mind, and so it comes out more smoothly. So don't ignore the opportunities you have to be writing, even if you're not in front of a keyboard. Mm-hmm. You know, use those opportunities to think through things, which I think is another way of getting past the fear of the blinking cursor.
Yeah, okay. That's helpful. You mentioned your website. So if you could tell us your website again and then also tell us where people can find you on social media.
Sure. My website is mattydalrymple.com. So that's MattyDalrymple. They can sign up for my monthly email newsletter. They can keep track of events I'm attending, some of the media coverage about me and my books. And I'm also very active on Facebook at Matty Dalrymple and on Twitter and on Goodreads.
Okay, thank you. And so the new Lizzie Ballard novel is coming out, you said, in 2018. Is that available for pre-order yet?
It is not. It's probably not going to be available until closer to the middle of the year, but all my other books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, all the normal online retail outlets.
Okay, I didn't want to jump the gun, but just in case it was available, I wanted to see if we could pre-order it.
I would love it if I could say yes.
Yes. Is there anything else that you would like people to know about your writing or your books or anything in general that we haven't covered?
I'd be really interested in getting people's thoughts on the question you had asked earlier about the fact that the books are not written entirely from the point of view of the main character. And I would love it for people who read any of the books to drop me a note either via my website or on social media to let me know what you think about that. Does that seem like an engaging way of approaching it? Did you get to the end of a book and say, oh, I wish I had learned more about someone? I love to engage with people about my books and my characters, and so I would love to hear from people about those thoughts.
Okay, thank you. That's great. Well, I really want to thank you for taking the time out of your weekend to sit down and talk with me. It was wonderful. I love the character of Anne, and I'm very excited to get to know the character of Lizzie. So thank you so much for writing those books, and then thank you so much for sitting down and talking to me about them.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This was really fun. I appreciate it, Sarah. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, I want to thank my guest, Matty Dalrymple, talking about her books, the Anne Kinnear series and the Lizzie Ballard series. As a reminder, there are two books in the Anne Kinnear series currently, The Sense of Death and The Sense of Reckoning. One book in the Lizzie Ballard series, Rock, Paper, Scissors. That second book, Snakes and Ladders, comes out in 2018. And I just saw on social media, I think yesterday, that they revealed the cover. So I am so excited to get to know that series and continue getting to know Anne as that series continues. So once again, thank you so much to Matty for taking the time out of her weekend to join me here on the podcast. I love talking to her. I loved hearing her stories and her perspectives on things. So thank you, Matty, for that. I hope you will join me again on Thursday this week. I have another author interview, this time with children's author Carmela Dutra. You might remember that she was scheduled on the podcast a couple weeks ago, but unfortunately she was sick with laryngitis and some other, well, she was sick and then she got laryngitis, which is never a good thing for a podcast. But she was feeling much better and I was able to sit down with her also this past weekend. And she writes children's books that are geared toward STEM and STEAM. So science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And the first one is called Little Katie Goes to the Moon. And Little Katie is her character in these books with her dog Smudge. And then the next one is about coding. So I'm very excited for you to hear that interview with Carmi. I'm not going to give you too much more because obviously I'm going to do that on Thursday when we actually have the interview. I just wanted to plug that a little bit. Children's books about STEM and STEAM. They're very cute and very informative. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I hope you'll join me again on Thursday. But in the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spreaker, Google Play, whatever app you use for your mobile device. And you can follow us on social media. As Maddie said, you know, when she likes to hear from writers or readers about her work, I would love to hear from you as well. What about just anything book related, what you're reading, what you want to read, authors that you love, etc. You can find me on social media at Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. So come follow us, come leave comments, whatever you feel like. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you'll join me again next time for author Carmela Dutra. In the meantime, go out and get yourself lost in a good book. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.